I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Idea after you've had a few. Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man!
Good to have you listening. We are live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, and we are ready. We are ready for the SEC Championship game tomorrow. Mike and I were just talking, you know, about seeing folks out and about. I was at a store today. Mike had some Georgia gear on, and a guy just randomly with his dog at the store.
Yeah.
It's got to happen tomorrow. And I was like, yeah, it does. It has to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow is the big day, guys, and we're going to continue to talk about it with you guys here on the show. And Mike, you know, yesterday David Pollack came on, and he was pretty adamant about what he thought about what is going to happen in this game. And I think we've gotten the same message all week long from pretty much everybody, right?
Right.
It's been, here's where Georgia's better. Here's where the Alabama Crimson Tide could take advantage of some things, but they're going to have to make more plays.
Right.
But overall, if you check all the boxes, right, everybody uses that phrase these days, Georgia checks all the boxes.
Yeah, I mean, the conventional wisdom, and I've seen it a lot. I saw it on SportsCenter this morning, seen it on a lot of the talk head shows. The idea is everything you and I have been talking about with Stetson Bennett, and can he handle the pressure? Because everyone seems to be of the opinion that Alabama is going to take away the run,
yep,
and Bennett's going to have to beat them. And that's something we've been talking about for a while. And certainly Stetson Bennett has, you know, let's be honest, taken on all comers. But I also found an interesting analogy. Some people compared it to when Alabama got punched in the face by Clemson. The year that Alabama basically was able to kind of walk through everybody, Georgia really hasn't had to go to four quarters. And so the idea being that if you get into a real boxing match, it's going to go, you know, 12 rounds, that Georgia's going to be maybe up against it. I don't necessarily buy that narrative.
I don't either.
You could argue that Georgia has had total game control in almost every game they played this year.
When you go look at the scores and you start realizing that, you know, Georgia has pretty much dominated every opponent,
right,
guys, almost by 30 points a game. When you look at the standings or the comparatives that we talked about, Mike, Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, Tennessee, the Dogs have beaten those opponents by an average of 28 points compared to about 10 points to Alabama.
Right.
So you're right. It's been game control every game. Here's the thing that's going to make Dog fans nervous tomorrow. If it doesn't play that way,
yeah,
what if at halftime it's close and everybody starts to think about 2017, 2018, 2020?
Right.
All of a sudden, you're thinking about how the Dogs have lost these games and had leads in the past. So I'm not going to panic that way because I think this team's better and I think they're more, you know, ready for this moment. But I know that's something that's in the back of people's minds is, what if it's close in the third quarter? We haven't had that situation.
And whether you feel that Alabama, you know, is going to be fatigued after going to overtime, or they're going to be buoyed by getting the win against Auburn, that they got a little bit of mojo, or the fact that they're hearing all the talk that Georgia is almost a touchdown favorite, and the idea also that if you do keep it close, that Alabama feels that they've got a mental edge, because Georgia, to your point, has never beat them.
All right, guys, we are talking about the Dogs. the SEC championship game. We've got a lot of other things to get to, including the Falcons. Mike and I were just having this conversation, too, because as big as this game is tomorrow for the SEC, obviously, in the college football playoff, Sunday, right back at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, is another big game for our Falcons. And, you know, this week we keep hearing start fast from Matt Ryan. We heard Coach talk about game planning and not making the mistakes this team made in the previous matchup early in the season against the Buccaneers.
Right.
If you do those things, okay, and we're a double-digit underdog, by the way, at home.
Right.
If you do those things, you'll be in this game. Does it mean we win, Mike? I can't tell you that. But you'll be in this game if you're able to do the things that we've been talking about this week.
I wonder how many folks are going to stick around to watch Tom Brady. I know years ago, my first year in Atlanta, Peyton Manning and the Colts played the Falcons, and it was the day after the SEC championship.
Okay.
Where Tennessee, go all the way to the championship, beat Florida State in the Fiesta Bowl that year, but it was T. Martin. Remember that? And that whole dynamic, it was a crazy Peyton couldn't get there, but
sure.
The next year they're able to go and get it done for Fulmer
and
win
the championship.
But
yeah.
One thing for sure, and this is something, it's a bit of a harder sell to convince people to get their butts in that stadium on Sunday. I'm hoping that will start to change. And again, if you could beat the Buccaneers, find a way to get that done, man, people would be freaking out. I think you have a lot of people buying into what Arthur Smith is selling.
We're going to talk to Chuck Smith coming up in about 10 minutes here on the show, guys, as he joins us on Fridays, helping us break down what to look forward to. Where do we have advantages, if any, against this Buccaneers team? You know, watching the game last night, and oh, by the way, hi, Saints.
Boy, that was
very trouble.
Dan Quinn and his technique of giving a game back was in full swing last night. If you didn't watch this game, the Saints and the Cowboys last night, there was a sequence where it was turnover, 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 and the Cowboys, they were just run the football, run the clock. It's not that complicated.
No.
Troy Aikman, who's got to be neutral on a national broadcast, Troy Aikman's like, the Cowboys are doing everything in their power to keep the Saints in this football game. Strange game. Taysom Hill could barely throw it, so when he did make a completion, it was pretty good. But for the most part, he was winning with his legs at all his bigger plays.
Yeah, but he's not a quarterback.
Nope.
And you see that. And it goes back to even the two times. You know, he's got three wins on his resume, two of them against us.
Right.
It goes back to how the hell did he beat us twice? And were we that bad when he
was
a quarterback? Yes. He's not a quarterback. And you saw it last night. It was literally, okay, let's just run a quarterback draw, and then let's roll him out and hope that somebody's open in the flats, because I'm not going to test his arm down the field. And then when he tried to go down the field, to your point about the interceptions, my point is, guys, Saints are in trouble, and you watch the game last night, and you go, can we run the football, Mike? Because that was the issue last night with the Cowboys. Zeke, I think, is hurt, but that's neither here nor there.
Not 100%. Right.
But they couldn't run the ball to finish the game. And here we are coming off of our first 100-yard game,
right.
And now we're going to play a stout defense again that's really good against the run.
Now, we may just have to be one-dimensional and throw the football against the Bucs. Hey, man, one thing about the Bucs, they got a couple of guys that are including Mike Edwards, one of the guys in the secondary that's suspended for the fake COVID documentation, along with Antonio Brown. So a team that has seemed to be putting guys off the street, as Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times told us earlier this week, secondary is going to lose a piece because of that COVID shenanigans. Maybe we can just protect Matt Ryan, and we're going to have to be one-dimensional and win the game throwing the football.
Yeah, I can't wait to see if we're able to come out and just to get something going on the ground. I mean, you got to try, right? That's the thing, and you don't just abandon it. It's Dukes and Bell. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live at Twin Peaks, guys, in Buckhead. Come out, hang out with us. There's a lot of folks here hanging out, maybe after lunch, Mike. I don't know what these guys are doing, but either way, a lot of folks here hanging out with us. We'll be here until 7. As we mentioned, Chuck Smith's going to stop by, a slew of guests today, including, for those of you who did not hear David Pollack yesterday, we're going to replay that for you in the 3 o'clock hour. He, of course, with ESPN, college football, and you know, a former dog, one of the all-time greats, Mike. But I thought his insight at the end of our interview, and you'll have to hear this coming up next hour, about these other teams. If you think Georgia is advancing, which we all kind of do, who's going to be the toughest and stiffest competition? And Pollack broke down Oklahoma State. He broke down Michigan. You know, he talked about Notre Dame. So stay tuned for that interview. It's coming up next hour. Also, Dave Archer in the 5 o'clock hour will give you our picks today, brought to you by Ingles. And we'll get a chance to talk to Steve Koonin. Big game tonight, too, at State Farm.
Yeah, man, the Sixers coming to town, so we'll talk about that. Also, again, the college football landscape outside of the SEC, all eyes on Baylor and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State has a chance to get into this Final Four. Notre Dame, obviously, watching that game. And I think, you know, Notre Dame, more likable with the new assistant coach taking over as head coach, one could argue. I know the committee would thank you. Committee said they were going to hold that against him, which is kind of funny. The fact that, and by the way, can we stop with the memes about Brian Kelly and Cajun talk now? We've seen like 5,000 of those today.
Yeah.
Everything from the water boy. You can do it. You know, there's about 15 memes of Brian Kelly learning Cajun speak.
Well, here's the thing. And if you didn't see the video, he's at the basketball game the other night. And he's talking to an LSU crowd. And I've never heard Brian Kelly sound the way he did. And so there's a little bit of phoniness that goes on with the way he tries to come off. Listen, if you're from the South, I don't have to tell you you're from the South. I just got to listen to you, hear your cadence, hear your accent. I know where you're from.
No, he doesn't have a Boston accent, but he has a Northeastern accent. But he's from Massachusetts.
But he came off as a little bit phony when he's going, me and my family have been here. Brian Kelly's never sounded that way. We are very happy to be here at LSU. And,
I say, sir.
I said, what is he? So the memes are appropriate. Because
Coach Foghorn Kelly?
You've never heard him sound that way.
Right.
But Marcus Freeman's going to do a good job there, man. He's going to do a good job.
That is funny, though, because, you know, welcome back now, you hear?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So anyway, Brian Kelly down in Louisiana State. By the way, he had a tough game with Florida State. FSU starts the season against LSU in the Superdome next year. That's the curtain raiser for the Tigers.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. How bare are those cupboards? How bare is that shelf that Ed Orgeron left? Is it really bare? Or did guys just step away and say, look, season's done. I'm not going to injure myself. I'm not going to play as hard as maybe I need to. I don't know if it's bad as people think it is. I do think they need better coaching. But, Mike, the talent, I think he's got a lot of talent.
I think, to your point, there was a lot of business decisions. I think there was a lot of stuff. And if you read there's a bunch of articles that came out. The writer who covers LSU for The Athletic kind of had the definitive piece, which everybody kind of ripped off, where he kind of lost the locker room with some political statements, his tone deafness to what was going on with some of the social justice protests. Or social injustice protests, I should say. But, yeah, that was one element to it. And then, ultimately, just taking his eye off the ball, you know, enjoying being Ed Orgeron, you know, and being a multimillionaire, you know, national champion coach. And single. And single, exactly.
Yeah, but the problem is when you're single and mingle. Don't single and mingle with men.
Well, the story, the cautionary tale, it's so funny where you guys, if you didn't read the article, we talked about it when it dropped. Lady pulls up at a gas station, Ed's out there, got a tank top on, no shirt, and she's getting gas. He goes, wow, you look pretty good. You want to get a workout? She's like, excuse me? And she goes, I'm married. That don't matter. It turns out that her husband was one of the regents for LSU. Yeah. And so that, needless to say, was kind of, oh boy. So he's out. But you're right. That's always a team. I don't care who the coach is. Take it all the way back to Jerry DiNardo. When LSU gets off the bus, it looks like an NFL team.
So we'll see. I mean, everybody's talking today about who's going to have more success. I think Lincoln Riley's going to have a lot of success at USC. I do. I think he's going to do well out there. All right, Chuck Smith set to join us, guys. Bo Morgan on the board today. Chris is off, our executive producer and engineer. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks. Find out what Chuck has to say about the Falcons and Bucks next. You know what that music means. Chuck Smith's in the building on the WadeFord.com hotline as he joins us each and every Friday to get us ready for the weekend. And Chuck Smith, what's going on today, man? How are you doing? It's a huge college football weekend with the championship games, which we'll talk about. Georgia coming up with you. How you feeling today, my man?
I'm feeling real good, guys. Real good. You know, it's a beautiful day here in Atlanta, Georgia. Y'all just came in with my favorite group, the Bee Gees. Come on, man. Couldn't be better start to the day, man. Let's go.
This big Chuck Smith, Joe. All right, brother. We are going to be able to handle the Bucks. That was one of the craziest games we've seen in a while, the way things went down in week two. Yeah. We were down 18, we closed it to 3, and then they stomped our guts out in the end of the fourth quarter. What's going to change this time around? The rookies more experienced, this team in a better place? What do you think?
Well, I don't know what's going to change, but I know the Falcons are going to come in, you know, with really almost nothing to lose. I mean, they're playing with house money, in my opinion. And when you look at Tampa last week, their second half, they came, Bruce Arians said, hey, this is the best football we played all year. So I think the Falcons right now, one of the things they have is just go out and do your job. I mean, listen, the interior, and I'm going to talk about that in a second, the interior O-line, D-line battles, God, you're going against two of the top defensive line and offensive line in the game when we're talking about Tampa. It's going to come down to me, those dirty yards in this game, and I need the Falcons special teams got to make some plays because everything is going to count.
Chuck, can we talk about big on big as we talk about the offensive and defensive lines of both of these teams? Let's get to it. Bow.
So let's talk about upfront and what you think.
I'm waiting for that.
Well, you know, the computer locked up, so we'll just go, Chuck's explosive takes.
There you go, Mike. I got you. We don't even need all that, man. I got all the information you can use.
Let's do it.
All right, let's start out right now. We're going to talk about the Tampa offensive line. Let me just start out by saying this is the best offensive line in the NFL, and it's been the best offensive line all year. So the Falcons do have a battle in front of them. But let's start out right now. Let's start out with the two tackles. Let's start out with Donovan Smith. Right now, he's the best offensive tackle in the NFL, in my opinion. Listen, he's going to be lined up against Ogundeji a lot. Now, last week, Ogundeji had a good game versus Jacksonville, solid on the run. I like the way he struck blocks and getting off of them, but we're going to need more pass rush. Everybody's going to have to man up. As far as pass rush, we don't have an advantage there, but as far as on the run, I like the way the kids play. It's going to be a push on that one, but Ogundeji does have an opportunity. Donovan Smith struggles against power rushes. He always has. He's light on his feet, so I think there's an opportunity there. Now, at the right tackle, we're talking about the Tampa Bigs, Tristan Wirfs. Listen, he should make the Pro Bowl this year. Now, he's going against our hot hand, Dante Fowler, and it don't hurt that Dante got money on the table, you know, if he comes in and gets a couple more sacks. But here's my big thing. Dante, there's a disadvantage, I think, that we have with Dante versus the run. In Tampa, what they've been running a lot, they've been running a lot of counters, misdirection, and running power. That's why Fournette's had so much success. But Tristan's a role grader. Dante's going to have to strike blocks and set the edge. But in pass-rushing situations, I like where Dante Fowler is right now. He's using his moves. He looks swift. I like the fact that he's not staying on blocks. So I like Dante. He has a good opportunity here. But the key is, again, coverage, because, you know, Tom Brady's going to get the ball out quick, so that's going to have a little bit of something to do with that. Now I'm going to talk about the Bucs interior, another fantastic group. Y'all kind of see the theme going here, but they're good. But look, let's talk about the Bucs interior. Left guard Ali Marpet, he is back, one of the top guards in the NFL. He was out versus the Colts. Jonathan Bullard, Tyler Davidson, listen, they can handle this situation. They can handle him and Coppa, the right guard, on the run. Because they're run stuffers. You got to be able to do that. But my thing is this. Marpet, he's strong. He's powerful. He's a beast versus double teams with Jensen. And we have to be able to be stout. I mean, again, he's quick laterally, but he's not strong at the point of attack. And watch out for number 90, Marlon Davidson, as I kind of say every week. Hopefully that number 90 stands up and represents the past history, all right? Now, here's the dog right here, y'all. Ryan Jensen is the leader of this group. He's a dog. Here's what I always talk about. We need that enforcer. He's pushing people after the play, adds a little dirty stuff in there. So Anthony Rush, but I'm going to tell you this, though. He's good on combination blocks. Anthony Rush, Bullard, and Tyler Davidson, listen, when they run, line up head up on Jensen, he's not powerful with his hands. He plays too high at times. He's real good with combination blocks. But I think, again, he's a backroom brawler. I want to see Anthony Rush and him throw hands. I want to line him up, land Anthony Rush up, right up on this center, and let them put hands. I really think we have an advantage there on that. When it comes to pass rush with Bullard, Davidson, Anthony Rush, we are at a disadvantage. Jensen is a lot better in the protection. Him and Coppa, and we're going to talk about him at the right guard. He is a top three NFL guard, but he gets to go against the big kahuna, man. He's going against Grady Jarrett. Now, if Grady Jarrett gets one-on-one, listen, Coppa struggles against inside moves. That is Grady's best move. When you go back and look at the Super Bowl when Grady had the three sacks, that's Grady's best move. And since then, no one's really stopped that move, right? So the point being, Coppa has twitchy hips. He can recover. But I think Grady, if we get one-on-ones with him, Grady can win. But the key to this, guys, is remember now, Tom Brady is really an extension of the offensive line. He's helped them a lot this year. They have given up hits. They have given up pressures, guys. But Brady knows how to deliver the ball, win. Why, he knows how, and he knows where anytime he gets pressure. So they have benefited from that. But this is, as I'll say, the best offensive line in the game that we will face. But it's not one of those doom or gloom opportunities, scenarios. There are some opportunities for the Falcons to win up front.
Hey, it's Big Chuck Smith with us here on the WayFord.com hotline. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, breaking down the Falcons and the Bucks. I'll ask him about the SEC championship game in just a sec. Chuck, we had Dante Fowler on yesterday, and we asked him about, you know, where he was at. And he basically said that he was not 100% last year. And how much slack do you cut him? Because he basically kind of admitted to us he probably should have just shut it down.
Well, you don't cut them no slack. You don't get any. No one cares that you were on the field. All they go is by what you see on film. So that's Dante's year, and you got to, you know, that's part of your history, what you did last year. But moving forward, he don't have to live in the past. He's coming out. He's had success. And to me, I want to see that same Dante Fowler that we saw with the Rams. He's got it in him. He's swift. He's quick. He has all those different rushes, but he's got to show more consistency, guys. Because, look, if the Falcons don't rush the passer in this game, listen, guys, it's going to be a blowout. If they give Tom Brady and remember this now, this is a Tom Brady when last week his two top receivers, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, did nothing. So I've been reading all week about what Brady's saying and Bruce Arians and Godwin and Evans. Guess what? Brady didn't like the fact that he felt like he let his guys down. He likes to let his guys shine. So expect Tampa on first down to throw the ball more to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And here's where our challenge is as the Falcons. When we got Anthony Rush in the game, what do you think when you got Bull and Anthony Rush and Grady in the game, what's the best down to throw on? First down.
First down.
It's going to be on first down. Yeah. So when you look at it like that, man, I hear what you're saying, guys. So let me know when y'all ready to go on the other side, and I'll talk about our Falcons offensive line.
Well, let's do it because and then we're going to talk some college football. As Mike said, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Chuck Smith, guys, helping us, as he's done all season long, doing a great job of helping us break down what's going on up front. Guys, we talk about it. This is where it starts and finishes. There have been games we haven't done anything, and it's all started and stopped with what's happened. All right, let's talk about our O-line. You see improvement. We ran the ball last week.
Yes.
Okay. All of a sudden now you go, can they continue this? And I think they are going to continue to rotate Dahlman and Hennessy at center. What do you think, Chuck?
Well, I like it. I like, man, you got to shake things up sometimes because Hennessy, I mean, listen, the Tampa Bay Bucs are some maulers up front. I like Hennessy. I like what Dahlman did last week. Listen, was strong at the point of attack. Did a good job on reach blocks and sealing off the centers here. The nose guards here and there. I like some of the combination blocks. I even like what I saw last week from Chris Lindstrom, Kayla McGarry, doing a good job sealing people in the double team. There were some double teams last week, man, with Lindstrom and McGarry, where they folded guys up. So I like where they're going with this, and that's what you got to do. When you're going against Vita Vey and Dominican Sue, William Golston, who's a sleeper dog, and I'm going to tell you, believe it or not, the lead dog out of them who comes in is 56, Raheem Nunez Roaches, who's the spark plug. These guys, let me just tell you how it really is. They don't respect the Falcons' offensive line, y'all. They come in feeling this way, and this is something that I'm saying from, number one, I know the mindset of those guys, and I don't think the Falcons' offensive line, if there's any reason for them to respect you. So what they have to do, Jake Matthews, listen, at left tackle, he has an opportunity. He's going to be going against JPP. He'll see some Shaquille Barrett. But JPP is not the same JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul. I like Jake Matthews if he's there, but I don't like Chris Lynch to match up one-on-one against any of these two guys. You understand that on the run, I like to see Chris Lynch from, blocking Shaq Barrett. Because Shaq's not super strong at the point of attack. You can run at Shaq Barrett. So I like Lindstrom in that situation. I'm sorry, McGarry in that situation. But Mayfield, you got a tough one, man. You got Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vey. Those guys are bringing the heat. So as far as on the run, guys, we don't really have an advantage right now. And that's on my paper. It's not in their heart. These are players. Things change from week to week. But when it comes to on the edges, I like Jake Matthews. I think he can block. Has had a lot of success this year. I don't think I've said it from day one. Caleb McGarry is an offensive guard. He doesn't have quick enough feet or quick and twitchy enough hips to play offensive tackle. But a lot of this is going to have to do. They got to work together. See, now offensive line play, y'all, it ain't an individual, but they got to work as a unit, especially against this group here, y'all. And give Matt Ryan some time. You know, you already know what they got on the second level. But Lavonte David and Devin White and Kevin Minner and, all these the secondary they have. So this is going to be vital. This has to be a true team effort. Now, last thing I'm going to say, I talked about respect, about Tampa's lack of respect for the Falcons. The way you get respect, Falcons, come out there and turn this into a backyard brawl. If a guy's standing around, knock the hell out of Ndamukong Suh. If you see JPP standing around, don't give him that kind of respect that I see sometimes offensive lines now in the league give the great players. Go after these guys. Don't and challenge them and let them know that we're going to get an understanding on the first play. You might beat me, but you ain't going to punk me, and I'm going to keep coming back and throwing my hands at you.
By the way, first time we played Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts combined, Carl, for 12 catches and about 140 yep. some odd yards. Got about a minute left there. Big Chuck Smith. All right, man, okay. What do you think about Georgia? Everybody assumes that Bama's going to try to take away the run game and make Stetson Bennett beat them. That's the simple way to look at it. But what do you think is going to happen on Saturday?
I think this Saturday, I think Alabama's going to throw a lot of pressures at them. I think they're going to challenge Stetson Bennett. I think they're going to try to man up. Listen. The Georgia receiver corps, they haven't seen a talented team like you're going to see in Alabama in coverage. Number one, the kind of athletes. I'm believing they're going to throw the kitchen sink at Stetson Bennett, make him have to win it with his arm. When you send that kitchen sink, that's going to stop the run, and I think Stetson's going to have to win it. But I also think this. I think this is the start of a legend of Stetson Bennett and step one towards the national title, and he will one day. They might – hey, listen – what he's going to do from where he came from to get to be the starting quarterback, they might throw a trophy up there. I mean, they might throw a statue up one day of Stetson Bennett. How about that? I think this is the start of it. Dog's going to roll.
Great job, Chuck. Get us out of here. Appreciate all the info, man.
Live life every day like it's third night. Go Dogs and go Falcons.
Let's get it. Chuck Smith, guys, coming up, we'll get to some headlines. Hawks got a big game tonight against the 76ers. We'll talk more about the Falcons and the Dogs coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Low testosterone does not have to keep you down. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live, live well. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Thanks to Chuck Smith for coming on. And, Mike, as we get into our headline segment, Chuck said, Bama brings the house. I agree with him. Mm. I think this is the only way that you have give yourself a shot against this Georgia defense. It's really a run blitz, but if it's not run, we're running to the quarterback, and we're going to try to make Stetson Bennett make throws. I'm going to trust my DBs and say, if he makes the throws, we lose today. That's if I'm Alabama, I agree with Chuck totally on that strategy. Speaking of Stetson Bennett, we had on former Georgia quarterback Aaron Murray earlier this week. Here's what he told us on Dukes and Bell about Stetson Bennett.
Well, unless everyone wants to bring up last year, oh, well, Stetson didn't perform well against Alabama last year. And you know, listen, they were winning at halftime. And I think it was more, we saw some major drops, like Byrne dropped. It was a big dagger route. It's coming from left to right on your screen. And it went right through Byrne's hands. Alabama picked it off and then kind of ran away with it from there. But Georgia obviously was in it, and it was on the road there in Tuscaloosa. I think Georgia had a lot more issues last year than Stetson Bennett. I've said it since last year. Receivers were average at best, I thought. Defense obviously wasn't the same defense they have this year. It was a good Georgia team. It wasn't an elite team. Fast forward, and I had opportunity to talk to Stetson yesterday. We're doing a little pregame hit before the game on CBS on Saturday. And you can just tell there's a confidence in year two with Todd Monken. And we discussed, you know, year two, the team's in a better place. They got the concepts down a little bit better. The chemistry with the receivers is better. And let's not forget this as well. I was at practice last year in fall camp. And let's not forget, this is first fall camp with Todd Monken. They didn't have spring. First time really installing this offense. Stetson didn't get any reps of the ones. He didn't get any reps with the twos. His only reps he got during the scrimmage was during halftime when all the starters and ones and twos and threes went to locker room.
That is Aaron Murray. That's how far Stetson Bennett has come.
Right.
From not getting reps to being the starter in the SEC championship game with the chance to win the national championship this year.
And it's one of the things that we've said this year is JT Daniels, no one would debate he's got a more beautiful ball in the air. He can drop it in there and he's got more zip on it. But, you know, Stetson Bennett also has the ability to move around the pocket and can win with his feet, as Aaron Murray talked about. He also, as you just heard, Jamie Newman first got all those snaps. And then from there, then they pivoted to the next guy and the next guy. And then all of a sudden, then he's out there. So had he gotten to Aaron's point, all of those reps, perhaps it's a different second half against Alabama in Tuscaloosa last year. Either way, now we know what we got here. Georgia still hasn't been really pushed for four quarters, which is something we're a little bit concerned about. And then how does Kirby and how does Todd Monken pivot if Alabama really does come after that way?
Kirby was asked the same thing about Stetson last year versus this year against Bama? Here's Kirby.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is, number one, protection. How well can you protect and allow him to? Because no quarterback's very good without protection. I think we've seen all good quarterbacks have rough days when the protection's not there. So the first thing you have to do is protect him well. You have to have a plan. He has to understand the plan. You have to avoid adverse situations. You know, you get yourself in a bunch of third and longs, I don't care who your quarterback is, he's going to struggle because those take longer routes downfield to develop if you're going to try to get a first down. And experience, that's the number one thing that Stetson's been able to grow from, is looking back at that game. I don't know what that was, his second, third, I don't remember, fourth start. And, you know, he's played a lot more football now and certainly has improved in terms of decision-making. But that's a critical piece to every game, is that player at that position makes so many decisions during the game that the outcome is usually affected a lot by the quarterbacks that play in the game.
So experience matters, and he's got more experience now in this game, going into this game, than he did in the Alabama game last year. Mm-hmm. Kirby alluding to all of the things that it's going to take for Stetson to have success. By the way, it's not solely on Stetson Bennett, Mike, but let's not fool ourselves. Georgia fans, how long have we talked about Stetson Bennett and this moment,
right,
and will he be able to get us there?
There's actually Georgia fans that obviously they want to see their team win, but they've actually been anticipating JT Daniels coming to the rescue like Tua Tagovailoa did for Jalen Hurts, you know, a couple of years ago in the national championship game at Mercedes-Benz. So we'll see about that. I just think Brock Bowers, I think, you know, hey, maybe could Pickens have a real impact in this game? I know he only had one touch against Georgia Tech, but we don't know what he's doing in practice.
Right.
So
right,
maybe those guys can step up. I know that the run game, we don't really look at, you know, to Zeus and James Cook as elite. I think James Cook is as good as any running back in the country if you feed him and get him in that rhythm. We've seen him it looked like a guy, but he's always kind of by committee with UGA.
SEC Championship, guys, is Dukes and Bell. We're talking about it all day long. Let's talk about the Falcons. Grady Jarrett talking about this defense. They know that they're going to have their hands full against Tampa Bay on Sunday. Here's Grady.
I feel like week in and week out, we're getting better, you know, and I think the biggest thing for us is consistency. You know, being consistent with it, it takes putting that work in every day, you know, every week, every game, to be able to earn that reputation of being a strong physical team. And I think that's what we're working towards.
Mike, you know the difference in the last time we saw Tampa versus, well, it could be tomorrow or Sunday. Turnovers. Think about those late turnovers. They had two pick sixes.
Matt's seemingly
tip balls, by the way.
And when guys are in the lanes, it seems like we get more deflections than anybody. No, Matt's 6'4", but sometimes the ball just gets deflected at the line. But the pick six, one off the deflection, one was just a clean pick.
That's right.
You and I were just talking during the commercial break. 10 targets for Calvin Ridley in the first game, so you had to account for Calvin Ridley, 7 catches and a touchdown.
Yeah.
And it gets back to the conversation
who's
we've had
picking
about
that up, by the way.
Right. Nobody. I mean, I know that people argue that Gage can do it or Zacchaeus can do it. They're not Calvin Ridley.
It's a concern. I mean, going into Sunday, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. Like.
Well, the Cordarrelle Patterson can, but he can't do it all. He's going to be a running back, wide receiver. He's going to be our Swiss Army knife, as he always is.
I want to see who's going to pick that production up. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell. It's our headline segment brought to you again by ATL Live Well. NFL Blitz on the way. We are live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Let's hear from our man, Trey Young. Tonight's a big game as well, man. 76ers in town. You know, we disposed of them in the playoffs. It felt good. We killed the process, as we like to say. But Trey just says, listen, we're playing well, but it is about guys hitting shots. And when they're hitting shots, it allows me to do my thing.
I'm just getting to my spots, and other guys are making plays, too. If they don't make plays, it's hard for me to get good looks. If teams aren't going to double, and teams are going to double, I mean, I'm going to give it to them and they're going to make plays. If they don't decide to double, I'll be able to get good looks.
We are a two-point favorite if you're into those things, Mike. Today,
yeah.
At home against the 76ers.
Cam Reddish, I hope, will play.
Maybe. I've not seen anything.
Yeah.
I know he's listed as day-to-day. He did
right.
not play in the last game on the road, but listed as day-to-day. We know Bogey's out at least another week. He's, you know, two-week process for him. But here's the deal. For those guys that are getting the extra ample playing time, whether it's Herter, it doesn't matter. Guys off the bench, we got a lot of bench production in the last game. We just need those guys to step up and play well and get through this stretch of games, maybe through the end of the year, Mike, where, you know, hopefully you start to get guys back. And remember, Okongwu is set to come back. I think it's late.
Right.
You know, then you start to look at this. We'll be back. That's what I'm kind of, let's just get through this stretch of games.
But I love the job that Clint Capella is doing. Clint Capella on both ends, he's grabbing boards. As we said, 13-foot skyhook. So Capella has really upped his game. I know you, let's be honest, he didn't exactly come out of the gate raring on that part of that road trip. A lot of that was on Clint. Clint has really redoubled the efforts. We talked about, obviously, the injuries, okay, bogey, this and that. But, hey, man, Trey, keep doing what you're doing. Joel Embiid, obviously, there's a force. John Collins will have to help out on some of those plays in the paint.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the schedule between now and the end of the month, which is obviously, you know, New Year. But Hornets, you know, you get the Nets again at home, by the way, next week on the 10th. The Rockets are terrible. The Magic aren't any good. I mean, seriously, you look at this schedule, you go, all right, Cavaliers. You get the Magic twice, actually, between now and the end of the month, Mike. So you could add some dubs into the win column. Hey, man, we got plenty more to get to, including what is going on around the NFL. Last night, what a disaster. If you're a believer in Taysom Hill, tell me why. I am not.
Buster.
We'll talk about that and much more coming up in our NFL Blitz segment next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.